Arriving. Mindfulness front and center. Sincere in attitude. Genuine. And how we hold ourselves. Modest. The one who doesn't know. The one who is some combination of naive innocence, no matter how old we are, and experienced innocence. These characteristics are part of what's doing the arriving. Nothing left out. Willingness for all pieces, parts to arrive. Mindfulness is not discriminatory. It sees what's wise because it allows everything to be in. It's not a picking and choosing. Everything we be can become mindful of, everything is worthy of attention, worthy of mindfulness, of being known. Wise effort, moving away from that which we've gotten caught in and avoiding that where we see we're going to get caught, staying with that which is really wholesome, continuing the movement towards something that's wholesome. Wise effort of the Eightfold Path starts with everything being available to be known. Sati, sati. Cultivating here and now, the knowing of here and now, the cultivating being present, to feel, to have a direct experience of here and now, the immediacy, to feel the immediacy. This feeling of having arrived and knowing we have arrived because we can feel our presence, that the mindfulness is now in the form of a presence that has some continuity. We are present. We feel the relatedness because we are present, because we're present in an awake way, not just in a registering like a barcode reader at the supermarket, but because the totality of our presence. We have wisdom. We have means of prioritizing, and we know it. we are empowered by our choice. That we have choice as to how we relate. Sometimes it's choice as to what we pay attention to. Other times, it's not possible, but we can choose how we relate to what is arising. And sometimes both. We know this. We know this. Feel for yourself what it feels like in this moment to know that you have choice. Not commenting on it, not having a view or an opinion about it, but like, what does it really feel like? What is the implication, kind of the existential truth of it, that you have choice as to how you place attention, where you place attention. That you can resource yourself, to use modern language. And from this sense of feeling available, one moves to align with something larger than the wanting mind, the fearful mind, the confused mind. Sometimes the aligning is a felt sense without any kind of imagery or any kind of words. But most often, in my experience, the words really help. So I acknowledge to myself that I'm aligning with the Dhamma, that I'm aligning with wise view and wise understanding. Wise view, I poorly said there, wise view and wise intention. I remember this word smriti, which is associated with mindfulness. I remember that this is wholesome. So I have a degree of faith based on experience, verified faith, that this alignment is worthwhile, worth taking the time. Not the amount of time we take in these meditations, because we are really learning them in depth. You can do this much quicker in your own practice. We don't have to take so long always, but sometimes we do in our own practice. So aligning with your deepest values, or aligning with being the one who cares, or the one who is willing to learn, who wants to be available to learn, to allow wisdom and compassion to grow. Having arrived and aligned, we are in the ground of knowing. Knowing of awareness. Wholesome. Aspiring. We turn now to the objects arising in the mind, starting with the body. When this aligned availableness, resting and knowing awareness meets the body, there is a kind of beginner's mind. It's as though it's a first-time experience, even while it's familiar. You feel the form of body. You feel the body is made up of parts. 32 parts of the body. These are all aspects of what we call body. You know body sitting now, but you know from past experience of it standing, lying down, moving about, lifting things, placing things, holding things. This is body being known. I'm available to directly know this which we call body. Dropping our attention to the lower half of the body, specifically into the pelvis, the bones of the pelvis. We go through skin, flesh, to feeling the bones directly. Hard, firm, heavy, these bones. This is the earth element being known. The body made up of various elements and space itself. The legs, the upper legs, feeling through skin, tissue, to bones, the femur bones. An elementary knowing. Knowing through the elements, knees and lower legs, firm, hard, heavy, earth element, earth element, ankles, feet, and toes, firm, hard, heavy, earth element, earth element. Weight underside, inviting the earth element to rest on earth, sometimes this brings a release in the belly, the lower abdomen, the breath may change. The spine may move more with breath. The earth element in the upper body may spontaneously slightly rearrange itself. Do we notice about the earth element that it has a tendency towards stillness, not perfect stillness, but is strongly characterized by its stillness, and that stillness has a steadiness. The felt sense of ground. We are grounded in our attention in the emotional body by this feeling of ground, which is what we're cultivating in becoming available, aligned and available, that same feeling of ground. Naturally, at some point, we notice the movement of the wind element as it comes through the body in breath and other ways, but we're experiencing it as breath. Moving our attention from the steady stillness to the flowing movement. Utilizing the stillness to differentiate, to be more aware, to be closer to movement. So movement is very alive to us, very available for our attention. Placing attention on the part of the body where movement is most easily registered in the wind element. It can be the abdomen, the chest, tip of the nostrils, the body as a whole, the in and out. We can hold in the field of awareness, the stillness and the movement. Something so satisfying about that. Still and still moving. We ask ourselves, how is it that we stay with the breath when it keeps changing? And we realize that this knowing capacity of mind can rest on a moving object and stay with it, just as the mind could rest on the stillness of the earth element. Steadiness of still and still moving, available to know it directly. In this body breath, we we start to notice that there is fluctuation in temperature. That there is a feeling of warmth or coolness, or hot or cold. The breath leaving the nostrils is warmer than the breath that enters the nostrils. This is the fire element. We can feel the fire element in the physical body, and of course, feel the fire element in our emotional body. Feel the fire element in our vital body, this warmth, this coolness. Available to know the fire element, to directly know. Through directed attention, we can affect the temperature, the heat in our body or in parts of our body. We can use the wind element to help with that if we want. For now, it's the knowing that this is the way it is. Why is it so important to notice the fire element? Because within the inner experience, nibbana is a cooling of the fires of wanting, of aversion, of sloth and torpor, of restlessness, of doubting. These fires get cooled. They cease to burn in a way that causes us to be driven, contracting, clinging, demanding, thirsting. This fire element being known the fire element active, affected by wind element, and the fire element affecting the water element, that feeling of connectedness in the body. The feet are connected to the ankles, which are connected to the lower leg bones, connected to the knees and the thigh bones, the pelvis. The feeling of connectedness in the physical structure. A feeling of relatedness, of flow in the fire element, in the water element. water element is connecting, being affected by these other three, known through them in many ways. The fire element, if it's not active, leads the water element to be frozen. If the fire element's extreme, then the water element becomes mist. And if it's balanced, it's flowing. So it is with our awareness. Our awareness knows, except when it gets frozen or gets too steamy. The same idea of a balance, of connectedness, of the flow, feeling the flowness. Form changes, the connectedness stays, this capacity of flow stays, even if it's frozen now. Your heart may be frozen now, but its inherent ability to flow remains. It's just not available under these conditions. Your thoughts may be steamy or sluggish or frozen in trauma. All of this is normal. The interplay of these elements, this elementary way of knowing experience. Available to experience the elements. In the Majjhima, usually these four are described by the Buddha, but on occasion he will include a fifth element, that of space. Space allows these experiences of a body. Space is contained in some ways by skin, and other ways not. There's space for the bones and the organs. There's the flow of the endocrine system. Water. In this space, this fathom-long body, awareness is localized, not limited by being localized, but awareness is here and now. Knowing is here and now. Aliveness necessary for movement. Movement necessary for aliveness. In the human form. These elements always changing. The breath as an object. Each inhale has a beginning, a duration, and an end. It's of temperature, of the fire element. It has a steadiness that is of the earth element. It flows as a water element. One thing predominates, but all of the elements can be found anywhere and everywhere, and all contained in space. Space is empty. There may be objects in the space, but the space itself is empty. Otherwise, there could be no objects to be there. Is this clear? We may have a room in which we are sitting. There are things in that space of that room, but the space itself is empty. Things are occupying it temporarily. And Nietzsche is the fact, the truth, the pointing out of this ever-changing nature. It is a fundamental realization on the path to liberation, because it clarifies for us where we get confused about thinking something is permanent when it's not. And Nietzsche, the teaching of the ever-changing nature, allows us to see that there's nothing to be clung to. No satisfying moment is permanent in this constituted realm, this realm of aggregates. We're available to know this here and now. We're available to know it and not object. We can know without having our preferences control us. We have choice. The elements can bring us to such a spacious mind state, or can frighten us a little. At least initially. Sometimes going to space as our object of attention can calm us. Other times it's the water element or the earth element. We each have our own way of calming, of gaining equanimity. This upekkha, this balanced mind. Notice that the elements are in some sort of balance within each of us just now. At this level of observation, of knowing, it's a priori to configurations of things that are healthy or unhealthy, that kind of discrimination of our body. This is the way it is. Those other things are like narratives that are formed with utilizing these elements. available. Available to know with the filter of what's skillful and unskillful, what's permanent and not permanent, what's self and not self, what's suffering and not suffering. We can feel the truth of our availability here at the elementary level. Things aren't so constructed here. The constructions and how we relate to them is what lead to the suffering, that lead to the delusion. Just as space is empty, even though things are put in it, so is this knowing awareness empty, although it's utilized for knowing. It itself is not, first of all, a thing. It's a capacity. Empty, and yet somehow radiant, responsive, as the Tibetans tell us. We can know this when we're available and aligned. So much peace at the elementary level. not constructed. This feeling of peace can be felt in any part of experience. When the conditions are right, we're available and aligned, mindfulness reveals, sati reveals. It is not that the constructs are so much problem, the various ways we self, that we declare what is me and what is not me, what is mine and not mine, what's yours and not yours, what of my essence I will share and not share with you, all the complications of the selfing process we engage in. Always movement in those selfing. It's not the selfing itself that's the problem. It's how we hold it, how we understand it. This the Buddha understood and mastered. Because the selfing, the identity, and making identity is so necessary and so fragile. Very difficult to see it clearly. Being available to let it be like it is, to see it as clearly as the elements, its constructed nature, its temporary changing nature, its involvement with dukkha and sukha, maybe in this moment, you can feel the space around the selfing. And your heart can be open to the challenges of it. Not to get rid of it, but to know its true nature, its true essence. To be able to hold this selfing lightly, gently, with care. But not in a way that is defining, excluding, entrapping. Most of you have heard this phrase, the likeness of being. So it is when we hold it lightly. It does not mean we become loveless, that there's no love within us. It's rather that the love flows with less entrapping, less heavy, less demanding. The movement of the mind towards that which we care for has a different quality. Because we are not clenched, clinging, grasping, thirsting, contracting. It's really true. And we can know it for ourselves. Nobody's asking you to believe, but rather to see for yourself. Available, aligned and available. Wholesome, skillful, onward leading.